Turn, if you will, into your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1. First Thessalonians chapter 1, 9 and 10. The word of God says, "For they themselves declared concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his sons from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come." Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the coming of Christ. We thank you, Lord, this time of the year. We remember your birth, how you came from heaven to earth to die on the cross that we might have life, eternal life. Lord, I just thank you that the Word of God says one day you'll return again. God, we look forward to that moment. For it's in your precious name we ask these things. Amen. The greatest fact in the past, I believe, of a Christian is the cross of Christ. When he came to earth, born as a babe, in a manger, he lived among us. He died on the cross that we might have life, that our sins might be forgiven. The greatest fact in the future is his coming again. Jesus Christ is coming again. You can count on it. The Bible, he said he would. And when Christ said something, he meant every word of it. On the eve of his death, Jesus told his disciples, "Listen, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." That is a promise from God. As a thief on the cross, he was dying there. He said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." That day, he went to be with Jesus Christ in paradise. The old hymn, I love it, "I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died for my sins to atone. In the darkness I see, he'll be waiting for me. I won't have to cross Jordan alone." I look forward to that moment. I look forward to when Jesus Christ comes. If I'm still alive, I'll be caught up in to meet him in the air. The Bible says, "The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." I am looking for his return. He says, "Watch therefore." Now, when Christ comes, the Bible says the divisions will be revealed. There's two types of people in the Bible. There's the saved and there's the lost. You fit in one of those categories this morning. You're either in Christ or you're out of Christ. Christ is not in you. You've never received that gift of salvation in your heart. The Bible says if he comes back today, in which he could come back, if you die today without Christ, you'll be lost for all eternity. It says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ. What a wonderful sight that would be. What a blessed hope. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I have on the other side. They're there. I don't know exactly where. Their Bible says they're in heaven. I know there's a heaven. It's out there. We can't see it with our physical eye, but we see it by faith. Spiritually, with our spiritual eyes. I know that just after I die, the moment I close my eyes, I will open them in the presence of my Lord and Savior, who loved me and gave himself for me that I might have eternal life. That is the blessed hope. That is the glorious appearing one day. And all we can do is say, glory, hallelujah, when he comes. I'm looking for that moment. Are you ready? You'll have to ask yourself that question. You see, Jesus has pictured it like this. There'll be two working in the field. One will be taken, the other left. There'll be two grinding at the mill, one taken, the other left. There'll be friends separated from friends. There'll be families separated from families. There'll be church members separated from church members. Yes, you heard me say that, because not all people in our church are saved. Membership of a church does not get you into heaven. It's Christ in your heart. And you might be here this morning, you say, well, you know, I think I'll go to heaven. Friends, the Bible says you may know that you're saved. You know that you have Christ in your life. The most important thing this morning for you to know in life is that you're saved. You've been born again into the kingdom of God. God has changed your life. And I wanted to know that now in my life so that when he comes, whether he comes today before this church service is over, or he comes 10 years or 20 years from now, I know that I have trusted in Christ. I've given my heart to God. You see, Jesus says, watch out, because you don't know the day, or you don't know the hour when the Lord shall come. Watch. How should we watch? How should we watch out if we don't know? Well, you know what? You need to be ready. You need to be ready when he comes. No matter what happens, you need to be ready, because our Lord says, I will come. You see, when you have Christ in your life, you know it. You know the power of the Holy Spirit in your heart. You know that he convicts you. When we do something that's sinful, when we do something that's wrong, the power of the Holy Spirit, God himself, is in our life. He has sealed us with his Spirit, and that Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we've sinned, that we've fallen short. And he says we need to confess that to get that fellowship back together. So you know if you're saved. You see, if you're saved this morning, you ought to have a salvation that makes us show. Listen to what he says. Paul says some facts about salvation in this little scripture here. We know that you have turned to God from idols that you served. You turned from idols to serve God. Now, someone always asks me, Brother Byron, how do you know we serve idols in our life? Well, anything that you put before God is an idol. It can be your family. It can be your hobbies. It can be your home. It can be, oh, in Texas, I guess it's men's trucks. We like those trucks, don't we? Oh, somebody told me the other day, said, man, I want the biggest and finest truck they make. So when I ride down the road, people will take notice. And I thought, man, that's silly. You don't need the biggest and finest. I just want one that runs good. And, you know, but we put a lot of emphasis on things, don't we? Right now, today, all over the United States, guess what? We're putting idols before God. There's more people that think more of football and all things like that than they do God. He says, you know, if you have a salvation in Christ, it's going to be a salvation that shows. Friends, turn from those things. Covetousness. You see, he says it's idolatry in Ephesians 5. What is that? It's desiring and seeking things more than God, because they seek pleasure. Oh, somebody always says, oh, I wish I had that and he had something else. You know, I heard, I don't know if it was Brother Perry or Brother, wait just a minute, Lovell, that told me that. Said when they were growing up, if they wanted something somebody else had, their daddy didn't like that at all, because, you know, that's what it is. We're coveting what somebody else has. And that's wrong, folks. If you do not do what you want because you like to do it, no matter what God says, then that becomes an idol in your life. See? And that's breaking the first commandment, isn't it? Where Jesus says, thou shalt have no other God before me. And oh, the gods we put out there today. Oh, we think of idols as those little Buddhas that they put up and things like that. And we think, well, the Asian countries and the foreign countries, they worship Buddha and they worship Muhammad and all of these. But you know, in America, we worship things, don't we? We worship things more than God. Now, I want to ask you a question. What is weighing you down? What weighs you down? I went to a conference the week before last, I guess it was. Time by flies by so quick nowadays. But they asked us a question. Are you willing to change? Somebody said, oh, yeah, we're willing to change. Well, we're going to have church on Saturday instead of Sunday. Oh, no, I ain't going to do that. He said, you're not willing to change yet. You see, are you willing to do things differently in your life? That's what God asks you. When you're saved, you give yourself to Him that He might use you in any way He wants to. Now, we're not having church on Saturday. I just use that as an illustration, okay? I don't want somebody to come up and say, well, preacher, I don't like that idea. Well, I just used it as an illustration. You don't have to like it. You're not willing to change anyhow. But, you know, it runs right on down the line. I've had churches, I've had members say, oh, we don't want to sing that kind of music. Well, if you won't sing whatever God leads you to sing, you're not willing to change. That's what it is. You see, if we're ever to let God use us, then we've got to be committed to God, folks. And let me tell you, a lot of us are not willing to commit to God. Now, are we? When you're committed to God, you're going to put God first in your life. You see, God above all other things in your life. Now, I'm not saying that you can't do something every once in a while, you know, but are you willing to put God first above all else in your life? No matter what it may be. If you're ready for His return, you will have a salvation that shows. I'm not going to get mad at somebody. I'm not going to, you know, do things that are displeasing to God. Then you'll have a fruit of salvation. In 3:9, it says this, for what thanks we can render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sakes, because before my God. You know, salvation, we ought to show the fruits of salvation if we're saved. How do we know that we're saved? You know, I hear people say, well, I have a feeling that I was saved. Well, I'm not saved because of some feeling. I wasn't saved because of some flashing light. I wasn't saved because of some little pat prayer that we pray. Paul says, we know, brothers, that he has chosen you. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but it came in power with the Holy Spirit, with much conviction. Now, how did Paul know he was saved? Not because of the blinding light on the Damascus Road, but not because he walked down some aisle and shook a hand. No, he knew because he was an imitator of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was an example of how Christ lives. You see, when people see our life, they will know that you are a Christian by how you act and how you live for Jesus Christ, how you imitate his life. You see, we become examples, and the proof of our salvation is the fruit of the salvation in our daily lives. Think about that. Work of faith, a labor of love, a patience of hope. Man, we put on love, we put on the joy of Christ, we have a peace about us, you see. We have a long suffering, we have goodness, we have faith, we have meekness. All of those things are fruits of the Spirit of God that the Holy Spirit has given us in our life. And he puts those in our life when we put him first in our life. Now, it's not what we prayed 10 years ago that got us saved, but what we're praying today. You see, what are we doing with the salvation today in our life? I praise God, it's not what I did 20-something years ago or 30-something years ago. I don't really know now. I can't keep up with those dates. My wife asked me the other night, I said, how long have we been married? And I said, a long time. I know we've been married a lot longer than we were single. I know that much. But I thank God for my conversion. But the reality of it is proved by my faith that I hold in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, that's how I know that I'm saved. I'm not perfect by a long shot. You can ask her. But I am aiming at perfection. I am working on that. You know, I hate imperfection, but I like perfection. I'm longing for that day when I get to heaven, I'll be perfect in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful to know? Paul was saying, your work of faith. The Bible puts work and faith together. We're not saved by our works. We cannot be good enough. You can't be good enough to get saved. Our denomination, Baptist, is not going to save you. I know that the first Christians in the Bible were Baptists, but that's not going to save you. You know, it would have been different if it had said John the Methodist. But they said John the Baptist. I'll argue the point with you all day long. The Bible says what it means, and he was a Baptist. He was John the Baptist. I love all my Pentecostal brothers, but it was John the Baptist, not Pentecostal. It was John the Baptist, not Methodist. And I love all denominations. John the Baptist, not Presbyterian. You know, I have a bunch of kinfolks that was Presbyterian. Kinfolks, half of my books in my office came from a Presbyterian preacher that was in Fort Worth. That is my cousin. But, you know, we're saved not because of our denomination. We're saved by grace through faith. You see, we're saved by grace through faith. It wasn't anything I did. It was God's grace bestowed upon me and given to me. And he said, would you trust me and accept me? And I said yes to him. I gave my heart to him. It means God loves us even when we do not deserve his forgiveness. And folks, every one of us here today is guilty. We didn't deserve God's grace, but he gave it to us. When God saves us, let me tell you something. It's in Corinthians. He says, we are changed. We're changed. He changes us. You've got to be changed in our life. And God, when he changed us, he erased those past sins. That's forgiveness. He forgave us. Somebody says all times, I don't know now, preacher, if God can forgive me of that past I have. God's forgotten it already. You see? He says when you ask forgiveness, it's over with. I forgive it. The old devil kind of brings it up to us every once in a while. But I always say, get behind me, Satan. God has washed my slate white as snow. I am clean. Justification. Then God puts something new in our hearts, and he gives us a heart that wants to obey him. Have you ever thought about that? You want to obey Christ? That's how you know you've been born again. When you don't obey Christ, you feel bad about it. Because our heart wants to trust God. Our heart wants that change. That's justification. He's working on me. All through my life, he's working on me. And I know he's working on you. He's changing you. I hope you're not the person you used to be. If that change hadn't taken place, we're in trouble then. And then he says, a labor of love. Christianity is the welcoming of a new person into our lives. When I said a new person, I mean the Holy Spirit. You see, don't call it an it. It's God, the Holy Spirit, in our life, the person of Jesus. Christianity is that love for Jesus. And it responds to his love for us. You know, our children, when they grew up, we loved them. We still love them. But we would give them things, and they would respond to that love that we showed them. And that's the way it is. We respond to the love of Christ. Why do I want to obey God? Because he first loved me. The love works hard, like a slave, because not because he has to, because you want to. You see, I want to come to church. I want to live for Christ. I don't always do it, folks. We all get caught up sometimes, and we say something sometimes that hurts somebody's feelings. And I feel bad about it. I say, Lord, I didn't mean that. And I'll go to him and I'll say, listen, I'm so sorry that I hurt your feelings. You see, that's the way it has to be. I've got to respond to that. And then he says a steadfast hope. Oh, when we show salvation, we know it. Hope is the Bible. Hope in the Bible is that assurance that we have in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I know that I belong to him. We have an assurance that Jesus Christ is ours. God wants us to have assurance. I don't understand people that don't have any assurance in God. He says, I came that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly, that you might have it joyfully. And folks, our assurance is in Christ Jesus. So many have a doubting salvation. And John says, you know, he writes that little book of John. He said, I am writing this that you may know that you have the Son of God in your life. That you may know that you have eternal life. Look at your call. Look at your call. Look at your conversion. Who called you? Who saved you? Now you think how God brought you where you are today. God brought us there today, didn't He? I'm here today not because of what I wanted to do, but what Christ wanted to do through me. You see, look at the changes in your life over the years. How God has worked in your life. I still know that God is working in my life. There's no accidents there. It's God working in our lives. He brings us together. You know, every time I think about how God has brought us together in life, man, I just praise Him. There's no accidents there, folks. The changes. Look at the cross in your life, and you can see salvation as a matter of Jesus Christ in your life. Nothing that you did. I love that old song, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." That's all we have to do, is lean on His name. I think the rest of that is when darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, I don't know if my anchor holds within His veil. You see, friends, go to the cross. Then go to convincing work of the Spirit of God. Because we are children of God, the Bible says our hearts cry, "Abba, Father." He is our Father, isn't He? He's our Father. He loves us. He cares for us. My earthly father loved me and cared for me. But oh, how Jesus Christ loves me even more and cares for me and guides me. Is that in your life? Are you ready for His return? Do you have that salvation in your life this morning? You know that you know that you know Jesus Christ is there. He's real to you. You want to serve Him. And then lastly, I want to say, a salvation that shows in our life. But Paul also says here, a salvation that makes us go. Look at what it says. I'll get back to my passage of Scripture here. "And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." You know what? Paul says the news about your faith in Christ has spread all over the world, the known world at that time. The news about your faith has spread. When I read that passage of Scripture, I said, you know, have I told people about Christ? Has the news of my salvation spread? Well, I have peace about my relationship, but I have friends that I want to see them in heaven. I've got some friends out there that, unless they change their ways, they're not going to heaven. I don't want to see that. So, my job is to let them know about Jesus Christ. Are you praying for the lost that you know? That's one way to tell that your salvation is real, that it will show to other people. Are you praying to God to open the door so that you can witness to them? I don't know what you do all week long, but if you're not sharing the gospel, you ought to be. We don't have long to do it. It's not going to be long. For the Christian ready to meet his Lord, I can only think of one thing. You ought to share with someone else that gift of faith that God has given you, because there's maybe one loved one out there, man. Maybe there's one husband or one wife or one friend that you have, or one child that's still lost. That ought to make us want to share. As long as there's a person to share the gospel, we need to share it. Are you ready for his return? That's the great next thing coming in the Word of God. On Wednesday night, we're going through the book of Revelation. I always like that book of Revelation. I believe with all my heart he is coming, and we need to be prepared for it. But we're not prepared if we're not saved. Think about that right now. You're not ready for his return if you're not saved. If you died today, you would be lost. I don't want you lost. I don't want anybody that comes through these doors to be lost. And the only way they can know Jesus Christ if you share with them. You see? Pray for them. Share with them. Tell them. Then you are ready for his return. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, today we look at your return. And the Bible says you could come at any moment. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. Lord, if there's someone here this morning without Christ, my prayer is they'll come. Simply trust you like a little child. And be born again. And serve you with their life. Be an imitator of you. An example of you. And then they'll share and witness with others till you do come. You said in the Bible, when you said, do this in remembrance of me till I come. God, if there's someone here today that needs to make a decision, whether it's coming for salvation, whether it's coming for church membership, whether it's coming to recommit their life to you, Lord, I pray they may come today. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.